reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus withdrew toward the sea with his disciples. A large number of people followed from Galilee and from Judea. Hearing what he was doing, a large number of people came to him also from Jerusalem, from Idumea, from beyond the Jordan, and from the neighborhood of Tyre and Sidon. He told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, so that they would not crush him. He had cured many, and as a result, those who had diseases were pressing upon him to touch him. And whenever unclean spirits saw him, they would fall down before him and shout, "You are the Son of God." He warned them sternly not to make him known. The Gospel of the Lord. Fourth day of the octave of Christian unity, we see in that first reading one of the real causes of disunity. As I've explained, whenever there is disunity in a home, whenever there's disunity in a parish, whenever there's disunity in the church as a whole, it is always a result of sin. When Jesus himself says that he had come not to bring peace but a sword, and from this point forward a house would be divided, three against two, two against three, mother against daughter, son against father, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. It wasn't because Christ himself is divisive. He wants us all to be one as he and the Father are one. But what divides in a home situation or in a parish situation or elsewhere is sin. When one person puts his will and another wants to do God's will, division ensues. The first reading, we see one of the greatest causes of that division, envy. Even though David had been working for Saul as his greatest general, when the people started to say that David was a greater soldier, a greater warrior, Saul didn't want to hear it. And it starts with envy. Envy starts to solidify, and it leads to homicidal thoughts in Saul toward the one who had been doing him so much good. Same thing can happen with us. We can become jealous. We can start to look at what we don't like in the other. It can solidify, and we can start to treat them as they're dead or want them out of our lives. In the example of St. Agnes we celebrate today, her virginity was detested by the Romans. And if they were not going to have her sexually, they wanted her dead. But we also see in this reading a template for us during this week of Christian unity. Jonathan, knowing this division that came not from David, who was totally innocent, but from Saul, went to David and went to Saul and tried to bring them back together. Jonathan was a real peacemaker, and we see that he was able, at least for a time, to bring about that peace. It took great courage to do what he did, it took an enormous amount of love for both parties, but he went and he tried to bring them back together. When I hear this story of Jonathan doing this for Saul and David, I think too about the work of Barnabas in the early church. Most of the church didn't want to accept St. Paul. He had slaughtered Christians before. But Barnabas was able to see the good in Saul, where so many others wanted to hold on to their reasons for not forgiving him, for not welcoming him in. And he went to Tarsus, brought Saul back, and we know the rest of the story. The Lord was able to use St. Paul to spread his gospel unlike no other. We need to think about those people we know who are divided from each other, divided from the church, divided from God, and like Jonathan, like Barnabas, go out to try to bring them home. There's a part in today's gospel which I think is one of the most beautiful parts in all of sacred scripture. The people were coming to Jesus in such numbers that Jesus needed to say, please give me a boat, lest they crush me. Think about how big a crowd that was. Think about how many people were so desirous just to touch the Lord Jesus. If people knew the Lord Jesus today, the same dynamic would be occurring. We'd need, unfortunately, to turn people away by fire codes in a church even this big. So I was mentioning a couple nights ago in the apologetic course I teach for the deacon candidates, sort of playing a little bit on Fulton J. Sheen's expression of yesteryear, that there aren't 10 people in the United States who hate the Catholic Church, but there are tens of millions who hate what they mistakenly think the Catholic Church is. Same thing for Christ. There is not one person in the United States who wouldn't be madly in love with the Lord, but there are so many who are not, because they mistakenly think that he's some type of boring figure. During this time of Christian unity, we first need to come alive, to have that passion for the Lord, to be in his presence. That is what will motivate us to become the Jonathans and the Barnabases that will bring others to reunite with the Lord, who has done nothing but the greatest good for any of us.